The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that would also be the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished in the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last time my voice started to give away like it did this morning at the beginning of the hymn, I thought we were okay at the opening hymn, and as I got up here, it was already gone. Makes me wonder if I should still be doing this. It also is very distracting. The last time I had this happen, it was at Jessup, and a brief sermon that I had and planned was about 15 minutes, and it took a half an hour. Because I added a couple ad-libs, and I was so distracted by the fact that my voice didn't sound strong and clear. Well, in the grace and the mercy and the peace that God has in store for us, we find ourselves by the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, familiar from so much that is seen in the New Testament writings. The scene is kind of reminds me of one of the things that happened to me as a child. We went up to Lake Osakis, Minnesota, and as we were getting ready to fish for a week, early in the morning, my dad would go out with his brother. They would go out fishing while the rest of us slept in. I snuck out and was standing on a bank which was probably about 30 feet above the water and about 100 yards back. And as the two were going out, and they were going to do some trolling for northern and walleye, and as they were going away, I noticed that they were yelling at each other to get over the sound of the engine. So they were having trouble hearing each other right there in the boat together. But when I was hearing it from over the water, you could hear them clear as a bell, and you wonder what they're yelling about. Jesus, when he is speaking to the crowd around the Sea of Galilee, he is making clear his word of promise. But apparently it was hard for them to hear, and Jesus could tell. So he decided to go out in a boat on the lake, and then they could hear him just fine. And I can remember how clear those voices were. So the word of God was not being hindered as he was on that lake speaking to them. Jesus is speaking to this crowd just like he's speaking to you through his word today. When things are through and Jesus is in the boat, he turns his direction. He's no longer talking to the crowds. He's talking to Peter. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Peter's response. Now, when I was growing up, I tried to find a distinction when it came to the truth. Okay. And in looking at it, I had a point to make there. That's an ad lib, by the way, both what I missed and what I just said. Oh, the difference between an excuse and a reason. An excuse is trying to explain something away. A reason is telling what happened. Peter is actually telling what happened during the night. He's a fisherman, a professional fisherman. He and his boat crew had been out all night. And my understanding from fishermen is that in the Sea of Galilee, as the sun would go down and the water would cool down slightly, the fish would come closer to the surface. That was the most likely time you would catch them. But all night, by the way the wording goes, not a single fish was caught. So Peter is saying, hey, now it's bad time to go out and fish. That's what's behind what he's saying. His reason is clear, but Jesus Christ sends him out anyway, right? He sends him out, and what happens? They get such a bountiful catch of fish that it's almost sinking the boat. Such is the grace of God in our lives each and every day. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. This is what he says to Peter. I will make you fishers of men. And in the original language that comes out, I will make you to catch fish. So it's not a question mark whether fish are going to be caught. Just as it wasn't when Jesus sent them out, he knew they were going to have a great catch. He sends us out into the community and the world to proclaim the gospel, just as he did to the apostles. Now, the apostles had a different calling than you and I have. We're members of the body of Christ. We continue to be those who are the children of God in this area, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. By the way, remember that at about 1 o'clock today, you will be hearing on the news who our new district president is. Hopefully, well, my personal opinion, I hope it's President Harrison again, and I'm pretty sure most of you too, as he served here. No, not here, but in, is this the one? No, he was in St. Peter, I think. Anyway, he finished speaking to Simon, put him in the deep water, and they caught all the fish. They bring him back, and he says, I am going to send you out, and you are going to catch men. The whole purpose of the vision is to see the kind of influx God is going to bring into his church. In Westgate, the pastors get together once a month. We study. Usually one of the texts for the coming services. We study it in depth. We go into the original languages. We grow in what that's all about. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 3 right now. We've been gradually going through it all year, and we're in chapter 3. We really study the text. One of the things that you will hear is in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. So as Jesus calls the disciples to get the message out, the apostles are to get that message out and proclaim the gospel. The same is true of his church today as well. But one of the things to note is the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. That's what the apostle Paul understood who they were. Everywhere they went, they were the fragrance of the gospel of the Lord. That defines what you and I are to be each and every day. Not in a legalistic fashion, but that's our calling. To be out and about. And by your behavior, as well as what you say, you are speaking to the people around you. Have you ever been around a bunch of young children that have never been trained how to behave? You find it very obnoxious. Or when someone comes out and just blurts out anything when you're in a visiting group blurt out anything they say, accidentally probably hurting the feelings of two or three people in the group. There again, our fragrance is showing. A fragrance which the Apostle Paul refers to, a fragrance which is delightful to the people around. And it's not the apostles, it's that word of life, just as it is for us. So thanks be to God that we have that fragrance given to us, given to you in baptism, continues to be strengthened in you in Holy Communion and in the study of God's word and the hearing of that word, to be strengthened as the baptized children of God, to be a fragrance to the people you are around. Try to remember that sometime. Put on a special kind of cologne that you can smell yourself. Don't worry about the people around you. And make that remind you of the fragrance you are. My brother, after he was married for about 5 years, he was putting on some cologne. And I said, "Why do you put on cologne? None of the rest of us brothers were doing that." And he said, "Well, I didn't think it was fair that when I first met my wife, I was always careful to have a nice aroma around me, so I would put cologne on. Why should it be any different now, even though we've been married for 5 years? The fragrance still needs to be there." And that's true with this word of life. And it's not easy for that aroma to be there if we're not gathered around the gospel of Christ and if we're not learning what that gospel is all about, whether it's on Sunday mornings or in your Thursday, I think you have Thursday morning prayer or prayer and Bible study, or is it Thursday evening? To hear and to proclaim this message is the fragrance of Christ in you and through you. We can be fishing and catch nothing because we are using the wrong bait, using ourselves, our own humor. That won't get me far, nor will my own wisdom get me far. Anybody knows that. But the word of God, that comes through loud and clear, and it comes through God's grace for you today. You are fishers of men. Fishers of men with that aroma about you. Verses 4 to 8. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put in out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Sounds like the opposite of what's happening in the life of the church today, doesn't it? Congregations are diminishing. Some are closing. It seems like, I don't know what it was like in your heyday, but at Grace Lutheran in Waterloo, we would have them from front to back and no spaces in the pews. Not now. Last time I was there, it would be about half the congregation is there. Times have changed. It's harder for people to get that fragrance in the world that we live in today. The forgiven heart is shattered by the awareness of sin, yet changed by God's forgiveness in Christ. Confession and absolution in the life of the church. Luther, when he talked about confession and absolution, when he talked about repentance, repentance was a lifelong, daily, hourly, minute type thing. It was always there. We needed that repentance because it kept us in mind of who's in charge and the grace of God which centers in our day. You have the fragrance of Christ through holy baptism, and as that fragrance goes forward, you become an impact to the people around you. Luther taught, the more you feel that you are a sinner, the more you want to run away from God, just so much more you should press toward him. So in those moments when you, if you're like me, I'll start getting down on myself, even as my voice is bothering me during the service, how easily I'm distracted from things. OCD, I believe they call it. ACD. Oh, there's all kinds of things that I've probably got labeled on me. But in the process, He's saying that when we realize our sin, it is not to hide it and tuck it away from God, but to proclaim it as we do. We're in a service of the word this morning, so we don't have the absolute confession and absolution like we normally do, but it's throughout the text in the liturgy. Throughout it, making mention of our sin and our need for his grace, and then hearing the showering of that grace upon us as we rejoice in the kingdom of God. Verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." Literally, this would read, "Stop being afraid. From now on you will continue to catch men." That's a task we have in mind for us as the church. And a brief message to get across the point that you are that fragrance to the world. The apostles went out and claimed many, and the fragrance continued to grow to where thousands a day were being brought into the fragrance of the gospel of the Lord. God enables you, just like he did the apostle Paul, he enables you to be that fragrance and to proclaim his joy in those who are responding to his message, who are resting in his mercy. Remembering whose you are, the redeemed children of the Heavenly Father, you may not be an apostle, but you surely are that fragrance Christ offers to all. To the trembling sinner, Jesus says, "Do not continue to be afraid." This is to the disciples after Jesus. "Do not continue to be afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And in the present tense, continue to trust in God, trust also in me, that you will enjoy that fragrance as well as all you meet. Now the grace of God guard and keep you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.